God is able to do just what he said he would do. He's gonna fulfill every promise to you.
Oh! Good morning, church. These are our morning announcements for today, July 12th. Sunday school is every Sunday at 9 a.m. This week, July 12 through 17, is the Wood River Baptist District Association at Macedonia Missionary Baptist Church in East St. Louis, Illinois. Pastor Williams will be giving his final annual address as moderator on Thursday, July 16th at 7 o'clock. Our August announcements: on August 1st, we'll have the Women's Christian Growth Fellowship from 10:30 to 11:30. August 2nd is Communion Sunday. August 3rd through 7th is the BGSCIL Congress of Christian Education. On August 8th is the Men's Christian Growth Fellowship from 10:15 to 11:15. On August 9th, Women's Annual Day at 10:15, the speaker is Ann Hale of the Wood River District Association Women's. She's our auxiliary president. On August 12th, Union Quarter Corporate Prayer Service is at 5:30 p.m. On August 15th, it's Union's Shred Day and our church's annual picnic. It's from noon until 2 p.m. August 18 through 20 is the Baptist Fellowship Community Revival here at Union Missionary Baptist Church. Dr. Jarvis Hansen, the evangelist, is from Chicago, Illinois. August 22 and 29, men's choir rehearsal is at 11:30 a.m. August 30, men's choir will be singing. Good day, ladies. For those of you who plan to participate in the choir for Women's Day, which is August 9th, here are the following rehearsals. July 6th, which is past, but July 18th at 11 a.m., August 2nd, immediately following morning service. And that's from Sister Denise Jones. Sunday School Commentary Notice. Beginning the next publication cycle, which is effective September 1st, 2026, the Sunday School Department will no longer be placing a group order for the annual Sunday School commentaries. Members who wish to purchase a commentary may order directly from the publisher using the link that's included. The pastor sent an email out, so the link is in that email. And then you would click on curriculum to Sunday school. Digital editions are also available on their website. If you need assistance placing an order, please contact the Sunday school department. Thank you for your understanding and for your continued commitment to studying God's word. Again, the announcement has been sent to all members via email, so you can just click on the link in the email. And then our final announcement, there will be no Bible study the next two Wednesdays. And that concludes our announcements for today. Thank you.
Good morning, Union. Praise you, the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instrument and organs. Praise him with the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. It is another wonderful opportunity to come and give Lord our God praise and honor for all that he has done in our lives and yet to do. We thank him for life and strength, and we thank him for his presence here today, for this is the day that the Lord has made. So we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Amen. If you would stand with me as we do our opening readings for this morning. We'll begin with the Lord's Prayer. We'll be on the screen momentarily, and we'll read that together. Let us begin. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Amen. If you're able to remain standing for just a moment, we're going to do our opening scripture, which comes from Matthew 22, verse 37. Let us read together. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Union. Let us love God and love others. Amen. You may be seated as we turn it over to the hands of our choir. God bless you.
Is built
What a blessed reminder today from our choir. You've done a beautiful job reminding us of where our foundation is. When I look back over my life, I've been in some sand before. I thought it could have been my family, but sometimes my family let me down. I thought it was friends, and sometimes friends let me down. I even thought I was bad enough to cover myself, but I let me down. But oh, in Jesus Christ, we got a solid foundation. So I'm going to encourage you today. There is no other foundation that can be laid for any aspect of your life than that was in Jesus Christ. Trust me on that and put your faith in him. Amen. Amen. We're going to get ready for our offering this morning, and I'm going to ask if the officers will make themselves ready for our offering. And our offertory appeal this morning, as they make their way forward, will be coming from Malachi, the third chapter. Malachi, the third chapter. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version, beginning at verse 6. It says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return unto you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all ye the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we come before your presence today to just thank you for this opportunity to give back to you just a portion of what you so richly blessed us with, Father God. We pray right now that you will prepare our hearts to give, Lord God, for we recognize that all things belong to you, Lord, but we cheerfully give them, and we pray, dear Lord, that we might give cheerfully and not out of compulsion, Lord God, that they may be found pleasing in your sight. We pray for those who've been charged the duty of using these for the upbuilding of your kingdom, Lord God. We pray that you would give our leadership wisdom as they make those decisions, guided by your Holy Spirit on how they're to be used. Oh God, we thank you for providing each and every day. It's in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask that you stand now, and the ushers will lead you forward for our offering. Please center your focus on them. It's prayer time, saints. It's prayer time. We're going to have an altar call this morning for those, if you would like to come forward. you're welcome to do so. If there are certain things on your heart that you just want to turn over to the Lord, but the Lord knows our heart. So at this time, we ask that you would stand. And again, if you would like to come forward for prayer, please make your way down as we prepare to petition God's throne of mercy. Amen. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Oh Lord God, we come before your presence today, humbly with thanksgiving in our heart, Lord God. Father God, we come with confidence, however, recognizing that you hear and answer prayer. Oh God, you are the only hope we have in this world, and we thank you for your faithfulness throughout the years, Lord God. Oh God, we are just a few to come before your presence today, Lord God. Guided by your Holy Spirit, dear Father, surrounded by your love, praying, dear Lord, that you would just bless us on today. Lord God, we pray that you will forgive us of those sins that we've committed in your sight. Lord God, we pray that you would cleanse our hearts and our minds, Lord God, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord God. And Father God, we also come before you knowing that in your forgiveness, we can walk boldly in the light that you've given us in Christ. Oh God, we pray for all of those who come down to this altar on today, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would just touch their hearts and their minds, Lord God. We are confident in the fact that you know the very needs that are on their minds right now, Lord God. And we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, Lord God, that you have the power to touch, to heal, dear Lord, and to deliver us from those things that burden us right now, Lord. So God, we lift them up to you. Lord God, we pray for every family represented in this place right now, Lord God. We pray that you will bless households, Lord God, that your spirit may abound, Lord. We pray that you will touch in a mighty way, dear Lord, that truth may prevail, Lord God, over every lie, dear Father. And we pray that truth may prevail, dear Lord, that we might be about those things that you've called us to do, Lord. We pray that you will bless those leaders of the household, Lord God. Give them the strength they need, Lord God, because it gets weary sometimes. Give them strength, dear Lord, to stand boldly, Lord God, and do those things that you've empowered them to do, dear Lord, to make things right. Father God, we pray in the name of Jesus for your blessing on this church family, Lord. We pray for our pastor, Dr. U.D. Williams, Lord God, for the manifold ways in which you are using his gifts and his talents and most of all his love for you and for your people, dear Lord, to minister to those throughout this world, Lord. We pray that you would give him strength, Lord God. We also pray for your special blessing on his family, Lord God, as they hold him up, Lord God, as he seeks to be faithful in doing your will, Lord God. Father God, we pray on all those who stand, dear Lord, in the house of prayer on today. We pray that across this nation, across this world, Lord God, that your name may be lifted up, Lord God, that we might stand together, dear Lord, with a joint testimony, dear Lord, that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, Lord God. Father God, we pray for those who are dealing with illness today, Lord, those who may have sickness in their body. Father God, we pray that you would touch them in a mighty way, Lord God. First and foremost, we pray that you would bring them comfort in their minds, dear Lord, that they may have peace in you, knowing, dear Lord, that you will never leave them or forsake them. And Lord, dear Lord, according to your mighty will, we pray that you would touch them and bring healing, dear Father, and relief in their body, that they may have the strength they need, dear Lord, to stand boldly for your kingdom each and every day. Oh God, there are many other prayers, dear Lord, that you know of, that my feeble voice cannot voice them all. But Father God, we just pray in the name of Jesus that you will continue to bless, continue to heal, Lord God, and continue to guide us in the way that we should go. We thank you and we praise you, oh Lord. It's in the mighty name of Christ Jesus that we pray. Let us all say together, amen, amen. God bless you. Now I present to you our pastor, Dr. U.D. Williams. Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Amen. Come on, let's praise him. Let's lift him up this morning, for God is worthy. How many know that he's worthy? It's all right. Lift him up a praise offering. Here in the building, he's word. Hallelujah. If you have a hallelujah in your spirit, say hallelujah. If you have a thank you, Jesus, say thank you, Jesus. For he's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy, for this is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice. Hey, I shall rejoice and be glad and be glad and be glad in it. Amen. Amen. We thank you, Reverend Sylvester Johnson. We thank you, Reverend Coleman. We thank you to our music ministry, including choir, directors, staff. And we thank you for you, my father's children, our members here. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord one more time, isn't it? Amen. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. As you heard in your reading, we'll be sending that out. I have a very busy next couple of weeks. We won't have Bible study the next 2 weeks. Amen. Amen. So take a good breath in and breath out. Relax. Amen. Amen. It's good to have some rest every now and then. Amen. The reboot is what we call it. So we just ask that you continue to study God's word. We do have our Sunday school and other studies here available on the next 2 weeks on that. Amen. Amen. We're ready for a word on today. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. The reason why we sing that is how many have walked through the week and that's just been ringing in your ear, and something you would have said or done, you realize Jesus is the answer for the world today. Oh, Jesus.
Jesus is the answer.
Song says for the world.
For the world today.
Above him there is no other.
Above him there's no
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus is the way.
If you know it, can you help us lift it? Oh, Jesus.
Jesus is the answer
for the world today.
Above him there's no other.
Can y'all turn that around one more time? Gospel of John, chapter 2. Gospel of John, chapter 2. Gospel of John. Chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. Gospel of John, that you can find that for us.
Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
Ooh, Jesus.
Jesus is the answer
for the world today.
Above him there's no other.
Those who are able, if you'll please stand. Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. King James Version is what I shall be reading from. If yours sounds a little bit different, that may be the reason why. Amen. Amen. Gospel of John, chapter 2. Gospel of John, chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. King James Version reads as follows. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he say unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, and after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. The ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was. But the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when the men were well drunk, then that which was worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Verse 11, this beginning of the miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. If you give me just a few minutes today, I want to talk to you about a changed situation. A changed situation. You may be seated in the presence of our God. God is here. God is present. His Holy Spirit dwells in believers and available for those who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. For those who are disciples, you love God, you know His Word, at least enough to navigate yourself through this journey, and that is a benefit to know enough to get through, because our true reliance is on God. But those who have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior need to know this, that if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, He is a change agent in your life. And those who believe in Jesus Christ, who are a disciple and follower of Jesus Christ, I'm here to remind you on today that you have Jesus. Don't you forget, whatever you are dealing with, whatever circumstance, whatever situation, whatever it may be, you have a change agent by the name of Jesus. Mary's baby, bright morning star, that great getting up morning. Yes, the Son of God, Jesus is your change agent. So whether you are a believer or non-believer, you're at least on the same plane in knowing that Jesus is the change agent. What you're trying to say, Reverend, Jesus can change anything. Jesus can transform anything. He can change any place. He can change anybody. He can change any situation, any circumstance. Oh, somebody already said, this is for me. This is my sermon right here. There's some stuff going in my life. I've been trying to change it. That's the problem. It's not for you to change. Depend on the power of God. And Jesus, and He can change a situation. Before I even get started, there's at least three witnesses that can say, Reverend, I understand what you're saying, that Jesus does change a situation. Somebody been sick, you ain't sick no more, right? Somebody been hurt, you ain't hurting no more. Somebody has some ups and downs, some bruises, that bruise done healed and moved on. Won't He change some things? That's all I'm trying to say. Somebody in here been broke, but you at least got a quarter in your pocket now. Yeah. He's a good God. That's all I'm trying to remind us. It's here in the text, the wedding at Cana is far more than a miracle story, a feel good, something we tell the kids. It's something that will change your day. When you feel like you're down and out, or you need some hope, you need something that will pick you up, you can remind yourself, flip on over there to John chapter 2, verse 111. Read about how Jesus changed the water into wine. This passage is unveiling the glory of Jesus Christ, who He is, the first sign that announced to the world that something had fundamentally changed. When Jesus steps into a situation, nothing remains the same. The ordinary becomes extraordinary. I feel like preaching this today. Emptiness becomes abundant. Oh, I feel like preaching. Shame becomes a celebration. Tears become laughter. Sleeping becomes running. Oh, come on, help me somebody. When Jesus is in the building, when Jesus is in your life, when Jesus is in your heart, can't help but have a change. This passage teaches us that Jesus has the power to change not some things, but anything. Jesus has the power to change any situation. Yeah, I know you're thinking of some stuff right now that need to be changed. And I just want to say, that's it. Change it. Whatever's going through your mind, some stuff that you've been struggling with, Jesus is the answer. Jesus can change. He can change it completely, abundantly. He can do it the right way. He can complete it. That there's no going back. You don't need no warranty, because the Holy Spirit seals the deal. Jesus can change anything. And then it says here at verse 11, it says that this is the beginning of the miracles that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. And what did it do? It showed forth, manifest His glory on who He is, and His disciples believed on Him. Sometimes we have to go through some situations where we see that Jesus changed some things. So first of all, we can give him the glory and realize he deserves all the glory, honor, and praise and reverence in our lives. So please change your perspective. Don't have a pity party. Don't eat all them brownies and Doritos and all that stuff and looking at all them reruns, because you're just in a place. But you got to call on God. And you have to depend on Jesus and remind yourself that he performed miracles. And you in the need of a miracle. And just say, I need you to change this for me. And in fact, I'm not going to wait for you to change it. I'm going to give you the praise right now for changing it. Verse 1 through 3, did you get that? I don't know if y'all saw that, but verse 1 through 3, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana, Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. So we have there that there's a marriage, and then there's a mother of Jesus, and both Jesus was called and his disciple. So we have mother, a wedding, the Jesus and disciples. And verse 3 says, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. The first thing I want to put in your spirit today is that you got to look at that there's a situation here in the text. There's a situation of need. So if you're taking notes, put that down there. Put a situation of need. A situation of need. Don't tell me your business, but some have water at your house. Don't tell me that. Some people may have wine at your house. I don't need to know that either. But I just need to let you know that whatever it is, you may not have water and wine or water or wine, but whatever it is, you do have something that needs to be changed. You do have a situation of need. Maybe it's them children. Maybe it's the finances. Maybe it's that job. Maybe it's some relationships. Whatever it is, God needs to put his attention on it. And what draws his attention is your faith and understanding, I'm in a situation of need. Let me give you 5 seconds to review that. Yeah. Look at your file cabinet. Look and see. Yeah, I need God there. Yep, I need him right over there. Yep, I need him there. He's able to help you in your situation of need. It says in there, verse 3, I don't know if you caught it again, but I'm going to throw it at you one more time. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. I know you looked over that in the text. You just kept on reading that. But that's very powerful. They're at a wedding, and at the wedding, there should be some wine. And at the wine, it ran out. It's not a good party when the wine done ran out. In the text. Amen. And the wedding feast here, the wedding feast in Cana, a common, joyful, everyday event. Jesus was invited to come and participate and peruse and be there. He does not stand aloof. He is not on the side of our daily lives. He's there. And when he's in our lives, he can make a change. Just somebody need to say, I need you. Mother of Jesus simply said, there's no wine. So if there's somebody here that needs something, you just need to simply say, there's no hope. There's no food. There's nothing but despair. Whatever your need is, God will let you know that it's already there. You just need to reach out and grab it. Just need to know that peace is already there. The peace of God is already there. The hope in Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ, it is there. Jesus is not just standing there as a spectator. Jesus is right there. And since he's there at the party, go ahead and grab him. He is present in our ordinary moments. Not only in dramatic ones, but he's present in our only everyday moments. Jesus is not just in the church building. Jesus is not just at prayer meeting. Jesus is not just in the Sunday school classroom. Jesus is in the grocery store. Jesus is at the Walmart. Jesus is at your job, sitting right there at your desk, right next to you. Jesus is there. Wherever you go, out there in the park, whatever you're doing out there in the park, Jesus is there. You know where you live. You know your address. Go ahead and look up your address. Probably looking on your video right now, seeing what's going on around your house. Jesus is there. Wherever you are, Jesus is there. He is present. He's not somewhere around where you just have to go find him and send him a text and wait for him to get back. Jesus is involved in our every ordinary lives. Because that's where we need Jesus, in our ordinary moments. Is there somebody in here, you just live in the ordinary? As my teenager would say, when life start lifing, you just need Jesus. When stuff starts going on, you just need Jesus. And you have the right Savior, because he shows up and he's available in our ordinary moments. We don't have to wait for the quote unquote big stuff or some big old crisis to call on the Lord and call for some friends to come over and pray. Jesus is available right in our ordinary. Did you catch it? Right in our ordinary moments. They had a wedding and Mother Jesus said, there's no wine. And then, not only is there a situation of need here, and Jesus works in our ordinary moments, but watch this, is when there's a shortage, Jesus really can show out. When there's a shortage, when there's not enough, Jesus really, really shows up. The wine had ran out, and this is a social disaster in this Jewish culture. This represented embarrassment and inadequacy. Somebody didn't plan right. Somebody didn't do the right thing. The inability for humans to come and order things and process it, this was a problem for the wine to run out. There was a shortage. Again, I don't know what you got, your house, water, or wine, but you are in a situation of need. Need to be reminded that even in your ordinary moments, Jesus can show up and help you. He's available in your ordinary moments. But I see in this text too is even when there's a shortage of any kind, when you feel you don't have enough, Jesus shows up in those moments too. Can I remind you of the Bible? Two fish, five loaves of bread, over 5,000 folk. Help me, somebody. Didn't he show up? There was a shortage. But didn't he show up and show out? Yeah, there's somebody here. I don't know what it may not be food. It may be mental health. It may be relationships. Maybe you feel you're in a shortage of love. Whatever your shortage is, this is the occasion where Jesus is present and he can and will show out. Do you believe, though? Do you believe? Every person, you can look at this in your life. Every person, every family, every situation eventually has a dry moment. All of us at some point have a drought somewhere in our lives. And that's why we need Jesus, because Jesus provides the rain. Jesus provides the shelter. Jesus is our resource. He's our strength. He's our wisdom. And there is no limit to what God can do and what Jesus is providing in our lives through Holy Spirit. You can have a shortage, but that's all right because you have Jesus. So Jesus shows up in ordinary situations. And even when we have a shortage, he's there. But I'm so glad about supply. That Jesus will supply. The mother of Jesus gave us a good action step. If this sermon is talking to you on today, first, you need to understand that Jesus show up in the ordinary moments of our lives. You just don't have to wait till something big for Jesus to show up. He's already there. Then when you're in need and there's a shortage, you just don't have enough. You got 50 cents, but you need 51 cents. Help me, somebody. He'll make up the difference. I'm trying to say something. But then not only am I knowing that, but you need to know that he will supply. He will supply. And this is what Mary did. Mary brought the need to Jesus. And she wasn't provided. She simply said, they have no wine. She didn't go through some big old story explanation. So-and-so, I told so-and-so to pick it up. They didn't pick it up. They waiting and stuff. We got to go call somebody, DoorDash, somebody to bring it. We wait. She simply just said what the facts were. There are no no wine. She brought the need to the right person. She didn't gossip about it. She didn't talk about it. She didn't complain about it. She didn't fuss about it. She simply took it to Jesus and told Jesus what the problem is and was. Simply, they have no wine. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we complicate things is because we want to bring other stuff that's not the problem. Just bring the problem to Jesus. If you have a need and it's not being supplied, you just tell Jesus simply, I have no whatever it is. And then he'll step in. Prayer is not just telling God what to do. And Jesus is Jesus, and prayer is not telling God what to do, but it is telling God what you need. It's telling God that you trust him. Do you trust God? And you want him to act according to his wisdom and his way. Let me say that again. Is prayer is not telling God what to do. It's having a conversation with him and trusting him and trusting his wisdom to act on your behalf. So, verse 1 through 3, what I wanted to point out is that this was a situation of need, and that Jesus, he works things out in our very ordinary lives. And that if there's a shortage, and this is catching your ear right now, there's a shortage, he will supply your needs, but he will come through. All you need to do is state the facts. And the facts here in the text, there was no wine. It ran out. Then I look at verse 4 through 6. Did y'all see that? Verse 4 through 6, Jesus said unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come." His mother said unto the servants, "Whatsoever he say, you do it." Amen. Help me, somebody. "And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece." And you look at it, it simply said, mother said, "Whatsoever he say unto you." You see verse 5? Somebody missed it. I heard it on this side. I didn't hear it on that side. So maybe I need to read again. Verse 5, "His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he said unto you." Oh, yeah, yeah, both sides with me now. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whatever he said. Now, who's the he in the text? I'm just trying to help myself here. Whatever he said, the he is Jesus, right? The Son of God, the Savior of the world. She simply said, whatever he say, whatever Jesus says, you need to what? Do it. I need to read it again. Somebody over there in the corner just not hearing me maybe is, whatever Jesus said unto you, you ought to what? Just do it. So that gives me an insight is that when I need to look at this situation, the next point, the first point was a situation of need. The next one is a situation under God's authority. is that it said in verse 5, whatever he say unto you, just do it. So the first thing you need to look at your life and say, well, what do I need to bring to the table with God? I know that God is not under my authority. I just can't tell God what to do. That would be inappropriate because he is God. What do I need to bring to the table? Well, I got the answer for you. Obedience. We want to skip that. We don't want to talk about it. But if you're going to have a right relationship with God and you're going to really get some things done in your life, you have to bring to the table the just do it. Whatever you say, Lord, I'm just going to do it. However you say do it, I'm just going to do it. I have to have an active obedience in my life. I just can't hear and know the word obedience means to do something. I actually have to do it. James said, don't just be hearers of the word, but to be what? Doers of the word. I actually have the word active and moving in my life. Whatever he said, just do it. So here, when I just do it, then it's under the authority and power of God when I'm just doing it. I don't need to ask a whole lot of questions, maybe some clarity questions. Mary asked clarity. How's this going to happen? I'm supposed to give birth to this Jesus. And I know there's a certain action in human lives that must take place. And I have not participated in that type of party. How is this going to happen? So there was some need for clarity. She didn't say, you can't do it. This is impossible. She just said, how is this going to happen? And then the instructions came, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. Isn't that what the Bible say? So it's a work of the Lord. It's this verse 5. Whatever he say to you, do it. Then Mary said, when she was told she's going to be the mother of Jesus, she didn't say, no, it ain't going to happen. No, this can't happen. It's not that. That's not possible. She just said, how can these things be? Clarity, because I know how things normally work, but she stepped back and said, how you going to do this thing? and the answer came, and then she was completely under the authority of Jesus because of obedience. And if you really want some things to work in your life and you want a situation to change in your life, you can't get around it. You have to obey. You have to be obedient, and not just God, but to God's people and God's system. We just can't pick and choose. There's a couple platforms. They don't send too many catalogs out anymore. Some places do, but some go internet surfing, go to websites where you can shop, and you can get different categories and order whatever you want or need or just want to look at the time. Don't let that process get you confused and complexed in your relationship with God. You just don't go and pick what you want with God, what area and department you want to order from God. God makes the decision in God's timing. What you have to do is bring obedience to the table. That verse 5, whatever he say, you just need to what? Do it. If you need clarity because it doesn't make the sense on the way that you normally do things, then ask God for clarity. But don't question his ability to be able to do anything, because he can do all things. Jesus said unto women, what have I to do with thee? My hour has not come. And Jesus operates in his own time and on his own schedule. I know you may not like that, but that's just the truth. I know your bottom lip may be out. I know you may be pouting right now. You don't like it. It's just uncomfortable. But the fact is that Jesus operates on his own schedule and his own calendar. You put January, February, March. You can try to schedule a dentist appointment. You can schedule your haircut. You can schedule when you go shopping. But you can't schedule when Jesus is going to do a miracle. He does it on his own time. And the reason why I can wait, because when he does it, it's on time. My hour has not come. Jesus was always conscious of the Father's timing, not his timing. Just because somebody wants something to happen and something to break and a breakthrough to come, Jesus was very aware of God's timing, the Father's timing. He would not be rushed by human urgency to change some water into wine. The fact that there's no wine, he's not just going to be moved quickly because they feel that's an emergency. And I don't mean to harm in saying this, because you do have feelings, you are human. But just because you think something is an emergency and big doesn't mean that God is just going to immediately step to it. Well, why is God like that? You like that. There's some folk that called you and say, hey, I need you to come get me such and such. I'm sorry, I'm out of town. I'm sorry, I'm unavailable. This is not a good time for me. I can get to you later tonight. I can get to you tomorrow. What did you respond to them? On your timing. God responds to us on his time. But it's not selfish. It's really for our benefit. Because some stuff we do need to wait for. Because while you're waiting, you're getting ready. You're maturing. Amen. That's not the sermon, so let me move on. Is that throughout the gospel here that we can understand that God's delays are not God's denials. Just because God allows a delay doesn't mean that God is saying no. He is working according to a purpose and a greater good. He's not looking for your immediate comfort. He's looking for your growth journey. Just because he's not moving now doesn't mean he's not moving. Maybe he's moving over there and over there. And then when you get there and over there is ready. Jesus requires something from us, though. He requires our obedience. This is one of the finest statements of faith in all scripture. A total surrender without understanding the method. Whatever he said, I share that with you. Whatever he say, do it. That's a statement of faith. Is that when you're going through what you're going through and you need some change, you just need to say, gee, whatever you say, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to give you all that fluff. I'm not going to give you all that foolery. Whatever you say, I'm just going to do it. That's a lifestyle, isn't it? That's one of the best statements to just say, Lord, I'm just going to do what you say do. I'm going to give a total surrender. I don't need to understand all the A through the Z, the 1 through the 10. I don't need to know all the steps, because by me listening to the steps, that might confuse me and dilute me. Just you say do it, I'm going to do it. That's what God is. Obedience to Christ does not require that we understand his plan. We just understand his command. Not understand all the nuances of his plan, but just understand his command. Didn't God go to Abram and said, go to a land where I will show you? He just used one word, one extra word, go. And the Bible says that in Genesis chapter 12, it said that he packed up everything and he went. Go. Do, obey, and watch God work. Final thing that I want to share with you, then I'm going to go to my seat, is you look at, there's a situation, if you want a change situation in this text 1 through 3, there's a situation of need, and then there's a situation where we need to be under God's authority, and then the third thing is you look at verse 7 through 10, a situation that is changed by Christ. His power changes the situation. That's where I wanted to lay my hat today. Verse 7 says, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. The Bible said, fill the water pots with water, and they what? Filled them up to the brim. They didn't need a drop of wine. They didn't need a cup of wine. They didn't need a little bit. They needed a lot. And they didn't know exactly what was going on, but they knew when you obey Jesus, fill it to the rim. If you don't go and be obedient to God to the rim. Just don't give him a drop of obedience, a cup of obedience, a gallon of obedience. Fill that baby to the rim. Obey him. With everything that you have. I don't know if I'm a good teacher or not, but let me try and see if I just got my point. The Bible says, let everything that had breath praise the Lord. That is a command, right? It said, let everything. Oh, maybe somebody said, I don't qualify. Well, let's do a qualification test. Breathe in and breathe out. The Bible said, let everything that had breath praise the Lord. So if you're going to praise and you're going to do the command of God, you ought to praise him to the brim with everything you have. You ought to say thank you. You ought to say hallelujah. You ought to kick that foot out. Wave that hand. Give somebody an elbow. Why? Because he's worthy, and you come to praise him to the brim. Ain't no short stepping in your praise. Go ahead and lift them up. Fill that water pot. Fill it up to the brim. Nothing dramatic, nothing spectacular in the instructions itself, but the servant could do this. It was within their ability to fill the water to the brim. God asked us to do what we can do. And when we do it, we need to give it all that we have. Well, I think I made my point, is that there's some obedience that needs to be done by you and me. Go ahead and fill that water pot. Yeah. Not up to the line, but fill it to the brim. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You ought to fill your life to the brim with Jesus. Somebody has lost their joy. Fill your life to the brim with Jesus. Somebody's lost a loved one. Fill your life to the brim with Jesus. I don't have anything profound, just like the servants. I'm just a simple person. Nothing dramatic, nothing spectacular, just an obedient servant of the Lord. And I'm just going to give the Lord everything I have. I don't have much, but what I have, and such as I have, I give it unto the Lord. Is there anybody in here that feel like I feel? You may not have much, but what you have, you're going to give it to the Lord. It's time, church, for us to fill our obedience to the rim. Yeah, you may not have any water, may not have any wine, but what you do have is Jesus. And allow him to come into your life and fill you to the rim. I'm asking Jesus, Mary's baby, to come into your life and fill you to the rim. I want Jesus to come in your life all the way down to the soles of your feet. I need Jesus to work himself up to your ankles. I need Jesus to work himself up to your knees. I need Jesus to work himself up to your waist. I need Jesus to work himself up to your neck. And then he keeps on moving and he got a hold of your tongue. And you ought to say, thank you, thank you, thank you, because he's filled you to the brim. Anybody need Jesus? Anybody need Jesus? Anybody need Jesus? Tell the truth about it. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Anybody need Jesus in your home? Say, I need you, Jesus. I need you. Anybody need Jesus in your family? I need Jesus in my family. Got some stuff going on with your job situation. I need you, Jesus. In my job, got some stuff going on in your body, got pills to take, got doctor's office visits, but I need you, Jesus, to touch my body, because you are a healer. He'll fill you, he'll fill you, he'll fill you to the brim. So the proper response when encountering Christ and needing him is to allow him to come and be obedient to him and allow your obedience to be filled to the brim and watch him change. What did he do? He changed the water to wine. And the change caught attention simply by the taste. There's something different about this. Usually they wait till somebody has lost their cognitive thinking. They're not sober, but you put out the best. Why is it the best? Because it's from the power of God. And if you want the best in your life, you have to be obedient so you can receive the power of God. And when the power of God comes in your life, it comes and fills you to the brim. That's what we need. We need to be obedient so then we can allow and open God's presence to come into our lives. At a wedding in Cana, Jesus took an embarrassing shortage and turned it into an overwhelming abundance. He took the ordinary situation of a wedding to show his glory and make it extraordinary. He took empty vessels and filled them to the brim. Just as Jesus showed us in this text that he has the power and ability to change the simple things and simple situations, he can change your life in simple ways. But you have to do it, my brother. You have to do it, my sister. There is a part that you have in this play, and that is to be obedient unto God. Be obedient to his will and his way. No situation is beyond God's reach. Whatever has run out in your life, you just do what Jesus says. Hope you may feel has run out. Strength you may feel has run out. Joy you may feel that's ran out. You need answers. You have questions. All you have to do is be obedient to God's way. He will fill you to the brim. The goal is always to glorify God. The miracle at Cana was not ultimately about wine. It was about revealing who Jesus is. Your struggle is not about what's giving you problems. You may be mad because your car's not working and it's a $1,500 bill. It's not the bill. Don't be distracted by the bill. Don't be distracted by the broke down automobile. You may have some stuff that need to be worked on at your house. Don't be distracted on those things. There's some stuff falling apart. It's not about that. What it is this is a situation that God is going to use to show you who he is and that he can change your situation. The goal is to give glory to God. The goal is not to fix my stuff. When I give glory to God, the stuff naturally gets fixed. So the goal is not to fix the stuff. The goal is to give glory to God. And if you give glory to God, that stuff will get fixed. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ, he died on Calvary's cross for you and for me. He was in glory. He was with the Father in heaven, in spiritual form. But he came down for the atonement of our sins for you and for me. And when he came in the flesh, Gospel of John, first chapter says that the Word dwelt among us. He came in flesh because he loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And through this miracle that I shared with you today, he has the power to change whatever needs to be changed. And he died because when we are born, we are headed toward death. But he changed that by coming down and allowing his body to be placed in the tomb, and by the resurrection power, those who believe, he changed the story for believers and disciples. He changed it that no longer death, now it's a transition from death to life with Jesus. If you want that transition, if you want life more abundantly, not just in the afterlife, but you want the blessings of God keeping you and sustaining you. And I'm not standing here saying that you give your life to Jesus or you rededicate your life to Jesus, that you're not going to have any more problems. In fact, my experience is they may intensify because Satan is mad and he's going to throw everything at you to see if you're real about this thing. But you have to trust God to change your circumstance and situation in his timing. Hold on to him, and he will sustain you. He will keep you. Let us stand. My brother, my sister, is there one that has not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I invite you right now to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. If there's one without a church home and you would like to come and connect with this body of believers, we invite you to come and connect with this church. Accepting Jesus Christ in our tradition means that you're a candidate for baptism. If you come by your Christian experience, you may also come by a letter from a church of like belief. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister, on today? The invitation is to you. Is there one on today? Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? You may come. Is there one? Is there one except Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? You do not have a body of believers. You may come in and connect with us. You do not have a faith community that you are active and connected with. Would you like to connect with this body of believers? Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? You may come.
He will give.
Is there one?
Is there one? New life abundantly.
Is there one?
Oh, come. Come on to Christ.
We see there are none, but still there's room in the kingdom of God. God is working in your life. He's working in everybody's life. You just have to trust him. Remember that just because the answer of God or the movement of God in your perspective, it may be delayed, but that doesn't mean that it's been denied. You have to trust God. That change in your situation, whatever it may be, you just trust him and he will direct your path. Look that up, that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That tells the story. If you just trust him and acknowledge him, he shall direct your path. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give your name glory, honor, and praise. We invite your presence, not just here in this place, but to be with us as we travel here and there, on our way homes, on our way to our various places, in our destinations. We just invite you to lead us and guide us, and in our hearts, to continue to transform us in your image. Now may the grace of God, sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, rest and abide with each and every one of us. Let us all say together, amen, amen, amen. Go with God, go in peace.